Welcome to today's interview with John Mett. My name is Ann Sieg, and today we'll be interviewing John, who is from Arizona. I met John in November of 2006, just last year, after he had been in his network marketing business for just a few months. At that time, he was complaining about spending thousands of dollars on prospect leads with the system he was given to use from his upline that just didn't work for him. He was spending $1,000 a month on leads, which from that he was able to get about 90 leads to work with. He was not comfortable working the business as he was a retired analyst with absolutely no experience in the network marketing industry. Getting into the mode of selling and telling and cold calling, talking to people who didn't want to talk to him, made this new experience even worse. The comfort level that John sought to work in just didn't exist, so he quit his network marketing business. At that time, his conversion rates were less than 2%, and his operational costs per month were averaging him $2,000, making his first 3 months in the business a $6,000 expense with less than $1,000 of total income to show for his efforts. Retired and disabled, John could not afford to keep his doors open due to the losses he was incurring. After purchasing the course through me, firing his own upline, developing his own permission style of marketing in which he prefers a conversation for comfort and no selling, but rather to focus on the prospect first, he was able to reduce his monthly operational cost by some 80%, and his conversion rates jumped to an average of 11%. John is a success story of the network marketing industry. His downline is now duplicating themselves, his business is prospering, and he teaches permission marketing to his downline to make sure they don't experience the failure he did in beginning his network marketing business. Please sit back and enjoy today's interview.
Yeah, hi, is this Ann?
It is. How are you doing today, John?
Well, I'm doing fine for an old man. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. I just want to catch up with you, John, spend a few minutes with you today. I know we had had a lot of past conversations in terms of your network marketing that you've been doing in the last year or so. I'm going to let you share that part of your history in terms of moving into that industry and all. But you and I have known each other over the last several months. But how about if we just back up a little bit here and explain on your end how it was that you were attracted to this concept of network marketing, why you were attracted or even looking at it, and just a little bit of your journey of what happened after that.
Well, I was attracted to the business end because my wife wears the pants of the family. So I'm retired, and she doesn't like me sitting around not doing anything. So now that we got that out of the way. But, you know, seriously, you know, I tried a couple of other businesses for a short period of time, and I wasn't happy with anything about it. I didn't like the marketing approach. I didn't like the, you know, just make more calls, buy more leads, send out more product. It was just too traditional for me. And as you probably recall, when I met you, when was it, November?
Actually, sooner than that. It was October.
October. Mm-hmm. Well, I quit. I just basically, you know, packed up my bags and said, enough is enough. Don't anybody ever mention this to me again. And I got to know you, and I got some information from you, and I decided that if I wanted a solution, I was going to have to find something that was comfortable for me, because when you're retired, you get that, it's a terrible feeling. You spend all your life working, and all of a sudden, you're not any good to anybody anymore. Nobody wants your services, so to speak, and you have a value issue. And the value issue bothered me, so I decided, fine, I don't like it. Well, stop complaining, and let's try to fix it. And that's what I tried to do, Ann, is try to fix it.
Okay. And I guess when you say try to fix it, what had been going on that you felt it was broken? Tell me about those results.
Well, my coaching that I got was sell, 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 you know, me, 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 company, 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 yada, yada, yada. I didn't feel comfortable saying it, and I figured if I didn't feel comfortable saying it, there was probably a good chance the poor soul on the other end of the phone wasn't comfortable hearing it either. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't comfortable. I felt like Sammy the Sleaze, the used car salesman. And the scripts that they give you, they're outrageous. It was just more than I could bear. And so I just, the only thing that I was comfortable doing was, I don't mind having a conversation, but I don't like selling. Secondly, I don't like telling anybody anything. In my profession, I spent all my time asking. So I thought, well, if I spent my whole life asking, and I don't have a trouble with a conversation, what happens if you put together the asking concept and the conversation concept and fire my upline? And that's exactly what I did.
Wow, fire the upline. I've heard that phrase used before. I guess you don't have to elaborate on that, but apparently you just pushed away those previous recommended methodologies. They were not in alignment for you. What happened after you decided to make this change? You were exposed to a different methodology. Tell me about the process involved there, that little segment of your network marketing career where you did make a distinct change in your approach. How did that go for you?
Well, you might remember I gave you a phone call, and I told you I took all my ideas and I put them on the wall at 24-point type, and I paced up and down in my office and I looked at it all evening, and I tried to figure out a different way that was comfortable for me as well as comfortable for everybody else. And I decided to do what I had thought. I was going to ask questions, I was going to have a conversation, and I wasn't going to sell. And the result from the first 2 months with the opportunity I'm working, which I made no money, I had nothing going for me, the change in my attitude as far as not selling and having a conversation and asking instead of telling, my production went from nothing to, well, how many months has it been? November, December, January, February, March, April? 5 months? I'm at $50,000 from nothing.
Wow.
And, we're moving next Friday into a new home, and, thank you, Ann. What more can I say, girl?
Well, thank you, John. There's nothing that means more to me and more gratifying than to see people have a change in their results, quite frankly, because the industry, well, I think you know, it has a pretty bad stigma attached to it, and here you are the recipient of a lot of that. You mentioned about firing your upline, and it's...
I heard that someplace, Ann. That's not me.
Okay.
It's just a phrase that I heard, and it sounded so clever, I thought, gee willikers, I'll use it. But it's not me.
Okay. But in any case, just changing your methodology made a huge difference. When you talk about your attitude, how would you say that has influenced your ability to move your business forward? When you talked about you weren't comfortable before, now you are. How has that impacted your ability to stay on task, do those calls that you know you have to do? Where's the pleasure factor now with your business?
Well, I went from, on a Richter scale of 1 to 10, 1 being terrible and 10 being a home run, I went from being a minus 0 to probably a 9 or a 10. Simply because I have a pride issue, and the pride issue means, can I do something that I enjoy, that I feel comfortable with? And I'm very comfortable now, and I'm enjoying my business immensely. I don't have a problem with the 800-pound gorilla, which is what we call the telephone anymore,
mm-hmm.
Simply because I'm not selling anymore. You know, I spend a few minutes on a phone with someone, I ask a few questions, we have a conversation, we get to know one another, I give them some information, and then we have another call later on. There's no more pushing, Ann. There's no more pressure. And what I realized, what shocked me, you know, in November when I started, you know, implementing this was, you know, it doesn't matter what I do, because if this doesn't work, what about my poor downline? And I've got a guy in Montana. It's just since December now, because in November I started signing up my first executive, remember?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I've got a guy in December that's got 27 people underneath him from Montana. A guy from Canada that's got 10 underneath him, another guy from Canada that's got 9 underneath him, a guy from Louisiana with 8 underneath him, a guy in Pennsylvania with 7, a gal in Wisconsin with 5, a Russian immigrant with 3 in New Jersey. You know, I could go on and on and on. I've got an EPA guy with 12 underneath him. All of these people are doing what I'm doing, and they've only been at it a few months. And they're happy as a bug in a rug because breaking into the business, not having to learn a script, not having to do show and tell, not having to do me, it's so much easier. Does that make sense?
Oh, enormously. And I think that's got to be, I would imagine, extremely gratifying for you. Not only have you moved your business forward in terms of your ability to recruit people, but it sounds like very much correspondingly, your downline is in fact doing the exact same thing.
They're duplicating themselves as fast as we can bring new members on board, and they're duplicating themselves because we use the word comfort zone every day when we talk.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say, Jessica, you know, are you still in your comfort zone? You know, James, are you still in your comfort zone? Vladimir, are you in your, you know, on and on and on. We focus on that every day because if they're not in their comfort zone, I don't care what you're saying, they're not enjoying working their business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, well, let's get into more of the specifics of that. And if you're able to distinguish from what you've been previously taught, something that you were clearly out of alignment with, you didn't feel good about it, you felt like a Sammy the Sleaze, like you mentioned, and here now it's very gratifying because you're actually servicing people. But could you expand on the concepts, the techniques that you're talking about, like you just referenced their comfort zone, to talk about the permission-based verbiage that you use and just expand on that if you could?
Well, let me see. How where do I begin? When I try to jumpstart a conversation, I mean, are we talking about me, what I say when I call someone for the first time?
Well, that, and I'd like to get into some role-playing in just a few minutes, but
uh-huh.
How you move them through the process that's different from the way you approach them now,
okay,
as to what it used to be.
Well, besides asking questions, you know, I make sure that I say things like, I'm not here to sell, I'm here to provide information. I make sure that I ask people over and over again, are you comfortable with what I'm saying? You know, does this make sense to you? Is this okay with you? Are you comfortable with what I'm discussing with you? Do you see what's in this for you? You know, are you comfortable to proceed? I always keep looking to the prospect to make sure every moment of the call that I'm identifying their needs, their wants, their desires, their issues, not mine, theirs. And I can only do that if I ask them questions that focuses on them being comfortable. Because if I can get a prospect comfortable in a matter of 2 or 3 minutes, that's all you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to sell. You have to relate. You have to communicate. And I have to learn to listen better. And I think that's everybody's issues. You have to learn how to listen and identify. You know, I listen to the prospect, and I listen to their indications if they're afraid of fear or failure. Sometimes they're afraid of success, or is this a successful person we're talking to, or does this person have potential? Those are the things, the disciplines and the methodology that I'm listening and looking for that I never say out loud, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the rules of the road, so to speak, that you're thinking in the back of your mind all the time when you're talking to them. I make sure I don't give them too much too fast, and I instantly look for the common ground from the very beginning. And if the person sounds successful, that helps. And I try to make decisions on these first few calls. Every one of them are focused on giving information to the individual and focusing on them, always them first. There's nothing more important than putting the prospect first and putting yourself last. And if I see that the call's not going well, I'm never afraid, Ann, to back up and requalify.
Okay.
Remind them, where have we been now? What have we accomplished? Where did we go from warm and comfy to being cold and careless, all right? And we backtrack to find out what it was that they went from being so content to now being not so content. So I'm never afraid to go back and requalify.
And can you explain how, I know you had a challenge when working with your downline in terms of when they would do their first qualifying call and they would hear just these basic questions or answers, I should say, that you knew wasn't cutting to the chase and really getting to their core needs. How did you, I guess for yourself, get to that level? And then furthermore, in terms of your downline, when you would listen to their calls, of which it sounds like you do a fair amount of coaching with your people, that you could see that it was all the superficial when you would listen. How'd you dig deeper?
I know what you mean by that, because it's like when a kid goes outside, well, where are you going, Seth? Well, I don't know. Where are you going to be back? I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know, you know. That's the way prospects treat you because they don't trust you yet, Ann. So they're going to give you pat answers. What would be an example, Ann? hey, Mr. Prospect, what did you like about your work that you did when you tried a home-based business? Or, well, what is it that you experienced? And, you know, if they say something like, I'm so uncomfortable, you know, I didn't feel like myself, or I struggled, I was discouraged, that's not an answer, Ann. That's not an answer. You don't know anything when they get done. But you can turn around and follow up and say, well, what would you say? I can hear in your voice that you're not comfortable. Help me out here. Mm-hmm. What made you so uncomfortable? What caused you not to feel like yourself? What caused you to feel like you were struggling? Why were you discouraged? When you get the answers to those questions, you've really got some information that's valuable. Or one of the classic ones, Ann, is, I didn't see any results, so how was I supposed to be enthusiastic? That's a classic one. And it's so easy to follow up with that type of slapstick pat answer by saying something like, oh, how many hours a day did you work your business? Or give me an example of your business day. Or, oh, has anyone shown you technique as how to take stats and keep track of what you're doing? And what kind of training did you get? And the guy says, what do you mean training? You know, I signed up and they turned me loose.
Mm-hmm.
Or the one that makes you kind of sad, Ann, is, I didn't know where to start. I just didn't get excited.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a sad one. And you've got to disarm them when they feel that bad. And you've got to say, have you ever heard of marketing without selling or without boring your friends or family or neighbors? Or, you know, how would like to learn about building a business without having pressure or speak to people who don't want to speak to you? You know, and then you ask them, if we could remove all of those barriers and those 800-pound gorillas, would you be more comfortable? Would that interest you? Does that make sense to you? And the answer is always a yes, because you finally identified the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one you hear more than anything else, Ann, is, my upline was kind of supportive, but I felt alone. You know, that's one of the classics.
Okay.
You know, we don't need to answer that one. We all know what the answer is.
Mm.
I just didn't feel the business was for me. There's one that's a real eye-opener. You know, what do you say at a time like that? And I immediately follow up with, now, wait a minute, Mr. Prospect. Couldn't you see yourself making the kind of money that you had in your business plan? He says, what's a business plan usually? Nobody told me about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you been successful in your own businesses? Yeah. Okay. Now, how can you be so sure this isn't for you when you haven't given yourself a chance? How long did it take you to build your business that you've got now? Oh, and how long did you work your business? 3 weeks. Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. You just got to go through the exercise with them to help them understand. You know, I really don't recall why it failed. It just did. We don't need to go there. I mean, but the point is, these are the things you hear. Or nobody seemed to like me, and they liked what I was saying. You know, it's so easy to dig behind these if you just don't accept the pat answer.
That's what it was, the pat answer. I remember from that conversation in terms of working with your people and knowing they had to dig deeper beyond that pat answer.
Yeah.
And when you are able to do it, you begin to bond and connect with that prospect at an emotional level that now they're beginning to trust you.
And you know what's so much fun now with the team is? We all donate pat answers to each other. And everybody donates a pat answer when we have our calls, when we visit with one another, and then we pass them around. Because what we do is we all dig for wonderful ways to dig behind it. Oh, I got one the other day. So many people just don't trust this business, okay? And the other one was, I just couldn't get up the excitement to work the business.
Mm.
Oh, I hadn't heard that one before, Ann. But I heard it now, and I heard it from my friend in Wisconsin. He's an electrical engineer. And so we worked up a wonderful, you know, way to respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it works, Ann. It works. But just accepting a pat answer, you're wasting their time, and you're wasting your time.
Right. Cutting to the chase. Well, something you mentioned earlier, something I'm extremely fond of, you mentioned tracking. And what place does that have in your prospecting efforts, in your overall business building, and what usefulness does that have for you?
I think tracking, of course, now you got to remember, and I'm an old bean counter, so come on, girl.
Mm-hmm.
I think tracking is the most important discipline of all the disciplines in business. You don't know where you've been, you sure don't know where you're going. I keep track of everything. I know how many dials I made a day in and how many people I spoke to. I know how many good calls I had in one day, and I know what calls were good calls and why they were good calls, and I keep track of the good stuff because the good stuff helps me build. What did I do on this call that I didn't do on the one before? I don't know why I did it or how I did it, but boy, that was really comfortable. Well, write it down, dummy, you know? Remember what you did, because there's so much in this business that happens every day. If I don't keep track, I mean, I can't even follow my own performance if I don't keep track. If things go well for 2 or 3 days and all of a sudden nothing is going right, I can back into it and say, what was I doing those days that I wasn't doing on the others? Oh, I was talking and I wasn't listening. Well, isn't that special?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And look at the results I got those days. I might as well have gone trout fishing. So the bottom line is that if you will keep stats, and I'm not talking about books or computer ledger sheets, I'm talking about a scratch piece of paper with a date on it, something you can throw away a week later if you don't want to keep it. But just look at it. Look at a trail of a week or 10 days and see how you're doing. And then just stick it in a file folder with a date on it. And you can spread it out like a deck of cards on your kitchen table and say, ooh, look at that. I signed up. Oh, I did nothing here. I did nothing here. And you can figure out your own problem just by keeping stats.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done that with, you know, suppliers of leads and information, you know, who gives me good information, who gives me bad information. All I got to do is write down what's going on and then follow it. It's so easy.
Okay, you hit on another key component of building when you talked about tracking, and you said it's the most important of all the disciplines of building a business. Talk about that briefly in terms of what you see now as a leader. Clearly you are a leader now within your company. You've risen to a very high rank within your company. And what do you see now as a leader in terms of the disciplines that are needed for your people?
Well, what's sad to say is it's like potty training, Ann. It takes a while. It's a whole lot of work, girl. And so probably the most professional people on our team are the hardest ones to keep stats, simply because they didn't have to do it before, so why should they do it now? And we work so hard at, well, you know, all the things we just talked about, Ann. You know, what have you done? Where have you been? Where are you going? You know, how many dials did you make? What kind of results did you have? We spend more time on it than anything else, because when we spend the time on that, they can solve their own problems. Does that answer your question?
Yes, tremendously. That's excellent. Well, what I'd really like to do, with your permission, is to do some role-playing. And before we do that, I think what would be really helpful as well, we know in working leads, people end up leaving messages. That's a pretty prominent component of working leads is, you know, in advance, having work leads, yep, you're going to be leaving some messages. I'd like for you to do one of those so people can have an example of how John Met leaves an effective voice message. And then after you do that, I'd like to get into that first step call for people to get a feel of how you connect up with the prospect. So would you be willing to leave a voice message?
Be glad to.
Alrighty.
Hello, this is John Met calling. You were expecting my call because the lead company that provided this to you informed you that I would be calling you within 24 hours. I have your information here in front of me, and I'm sorry that I missed you. But you know that I'm not here to sell you anything, so put your credit card away. But here's my phone number, and please give me a call and let me know when we can touch base again. Thank you very much, you know, again. And my name is John Met, and here's my phone number. That's it. Very short.
Awesome. Thank you.
I just want them to know that I'm calling them because they're expecting me to call them. I'm not a cold caller. I'm not a telemarketer. I'm returning their call because they were expecting my call.
Excellent.
And if someone's having a bad hair day, and they pick up the phone and, you know, it's like, I've had 37 calls today. Why are you doing this to me? The first thing I say is, excuse me, please. I'm not a telemarketer. I'm returning your call. And if this is a bad time, what's a better time? And if you don't want to talk to me, I have permission to remove your name from our list so you're not contacted again. And I diffuse it instantly because I'm not going to put up with any of that. Life is too short.
Indeed it is. Well, let's get into a first step call, if we may. You're Mr. Prospector, and I'm Miss Prospectee. We can do that, and we'll work it through the sales process, the first step, and folks, we will also do then the second step for people's benefit.
Okay. Whenever you're ready.
I am absolutely ready. I'm waiting for that call, as a matter of fact.
Certainly, certainly. Hello, Ann. This is John Met calling. Were you expecting my call?
Yes, I have to admit I was.
Thank you. Do you have a few minutes? Because I don't want to bother you if you've got a lot going on right now. I can check back with you, but I need about, 5 minutes of your time, if that's okay.
Yep, that would be perfectly fine.
All righty. First thing I want to tell you is put your credit card and billfold away. I'm not here to sell you anything. I'm a retired accountant. My job is to give information, and if you'll allow me to give you information, I would love to do so, and that is where I want to stop, because my attitude is, Ann, is that if you don't get it and I'm giving you this information, you shouldn't really be moving forward in a business, because it means that you really wouldn't have a good chance of success, and that wouldn't be fair to you. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that sounds like a good starting place, just getting some information.
Well, you brought up a good point there, information. Are you aware of how people work in this industry as far as what the success rates are? Has anyone shared that information with you?
Not really in terms of stats or anything, but I have to admit on my end, be honest with you, I'm a leery person. I'm skeptical. I'm interested, but I sure don't want to fail. I can tell you that much.
Well, that's right, because we're not all Michael Jordans either. And what you really need to know is that about 95% of the people that try this business fail. Were you aware of that?
95%?
Yes, ma'am.
That's worse than I was thinking, actually.
Well, if I haven't scared your socks off, let me tell you the rest of the story, as they say. I want to share with you the three reasons why oftentimes you will fail at this business. Number one, right out there in front, you're lied to, and I'll answer that in a second. Number two, it's false expectations. I'll answer that one. And number three, one of the worst ones of all is that you don't have adequate information to proceed and work your business. Number one, lied to. Lying to by commission is bad, but lying to you by omission is worse. And if you don't know the right questions to ask, if you don't know how to do due diligence, you end up making a decision maybe perhaps on an emotional issue instead of a technical issue, going through and doing your homework, and that's why you're not successful. Number two is very, very obvious, and you know that, the expectations. You just don't make a lot of money overnight. You have to build your business. You have to work at it, and you have to set down a business plan and implement that plan, but you need to have expectations and goals that are realistic. This is what I want to make. I want to make $500 my first month. I want to make $1,000 my second, whatever, whatever. But whatever plan you make, you've got to discuss it. You've got to make sure that it's realistic, because you're not going to be making $5,000 a month in the first month or so, and unless you're one very, very lucky person. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I have to admit I've had people who said that I couldn't make that much money.
Well, I didn't, and I've been at it for 6 months, and I'm just getting up close to that after 6 months. And I failed the first couple of months, didn't make anything, so don't believe everything you hear. You know, do the old Harry Truman trick. Prove it. Boy, it really, really works. When in doubt, whenever you're talking to someone, prove it. And the last one is everybody has a training program, and, you know, it's amazing how the training programs are not comfortable for you or for me. I actually had to come up with something myself. We've been talking how many minutes, Ann, here? Close to 7 minutes?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you recall me trying to sell you anything?
No, you said that you asked me to put away my credit card.
That's
I had
exactly.
to admit I didn't have it out, John, and I wasn't planning to.
All right, so I haven't tried to sell you anything, have I?
No.
All right, and I'm going to ask you permission to talk to you again after this call, and I'd like you to keep track of me on that call, too. In fact, I'd like you to identify if I ever ask you to buy anything or if I ask you or I try to sell you anything. Do you mind doing that? Because I won't.
That's different.
It is different, and I want you to enjoy it, because there's no pressure on you, there's no pressure on me, Ann, and we're just having a conversation, and I'll give you all the information you want, and I'm not going to ask anything in return from you. All I want you to do is do what's best for you and do your homework, because I'm going to know how much you absorb by the tough questions you ask, and if you don't ask me any tough questions, I'm going to know this is not a fit for you or for me, because you're not getting it. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, homework. So what are we talking about here?
Well, I'm about through with this call, and what I need to do is I want some permission from you, and you're going to hear me use that word permission, because I'm not going to send you anything without your permission, and I'm not even going to call you back without your permission, okay?
All right.
But I do have some more information that I'd like to send to you. I'd like to get back to you in about 24 or 48 hours, call you the same time we're talking now in the evening, either tomorrow night or the next night, and just answer your questions. And if you like what you hear and I like what I hear, then I'd like to go to the next step, which is just giving you more information. And I want to go through this process with you, Ann, on two or three calls just to get you comfortable. So, like driving a car, instead of driving a car for 20 minutes and have a salesman say, okay, now let's finance $30,000, how about if we drive the car for quite a while, let's say a week or so, a couple of weeks, until you're really comfortable and you really have a good experience so you really know what you're doing. Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, so I get to test drive it first, sounds
like.
You
got it.
Okay.
So I'm going to email this to you, and to make it easy, because I know you probably get a bazillion emails right now since you filled out that form, I'm going to say, Ann, regarding our conversation, so when you're looking down the big, long line on your emails, you'll know this is from me. Take a peek at it, make some notes, and I'll check back with you in a couple of days, okay? Same time.
All righty, that sounds good.
You have a good evening, and thanks a lot.
All righty, bye-bye.
Bye.
All righty, well, a couple days have gone by. And I got my email, and I did some research there, and I'm waiting for your call.
Hi, Ann. This is John. Is this a good time? We were going to talk tonight.
Yes, I remember you, John. I did get your email. I was curious about it because I have, well, I've gotten a few more calls, I have to admit, and no one has presented themselves quite like you did. I have to admit it was more pretty much they were selling something. So I'm all ears. I guess this is a little more... It's my comfort level to just get more information.
Okay. Well, this isn't going to be a very long call, but what we're going to do, please, is I'm going to ask you for permission to ask you some questions. Okay? Now, I want you to know why, always why, Ann. Whenever I say anything to you, ask yourself, why, okay? Why am I asking you these questions? Because I want you to hear the answers that you're saying to yourself, and I want to hear your answers. Because I want you to help measure where you're going in this process. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say it's exactly 90 days from today, okay? What are some of the things that you would like to have accomplished if you did start a home-based business now? What are your objectives?
Well, here's my challenge. I do have this part-time job that I'm trying to get out of, and I guess I want to make sure that I'm at least making some money. And I know that's probably the first hurdle, is just to make some money. Because I know there's expenses. I don't quite get all of that part. I've never done this before. Well, actually, I did. Just briefly. It was 4 or 5 years ago when my kids were younger. Now they're a little older. They're in grade school. But I need to actually make some money in 90 days.
All right. At a starting point, you've looked at the information I sent you. What did you like about what I sent you in?
Well, it looks like you're starting to provide a roadmap. That's always been my biggest hurdle, is where am I going and how am I going to get there? And it appeared as though you've got a roadmap for me to follow step by step. And it looks like you've got a team of people that you've definitely been working with. That makes me feel a little sense of comfort that, well, you're not brand new at it, and you provided names of people that I can contact. That makes me feel better instead of just knowing that it's just you. Looks like you had a call where I can actually maybe listen in and get a feel for what your team does. So I like the roadmap and the fact that there's people that I get to be involved with.
Okay, thank you. Do you have any questions or concerns? Because that's my job. Remember, I told you I'm supposed to try to answer your questions?
Well, yeah, there is. I've been, you know, these other people have called me, and I just going to let you know straight up, my husband's real kind of protective of me getting to something that's going to be a big waste of my time, because He knows our time is really limited because of the kids and whatnot. He's concerned about the expense that I invest in something, but I don't get the money back. Because here's the deal, John. He did this way back when, before we got married, some other home-based business, and he lost a lot of money, and he felt really stupid. And I guess he's being kind of protective. He doesn't want that to happen for me.
That's good. And that leads us to a good question. And think very carefully, please, before you answer this. It's important to you more than it is to me, okay? Could you please, Ann, tell me why you think you could be successful in working a home-based business?
Well, I'm really motivated. I've had this job, actually it's two part-time jobs. I help at this with the school lunch where my kids go to school, and then I've got a part-time job at Walgreens, and, well, I don't even know you that well, but we have a special needs child, and that's partly why I do the lunchroom thing, is so that I'm there. And I just need to be around my son more to help him out. And that's my main reason, is I'm really motivated. I think that's why I can be successful. I'm very motivated. I'm a hard worker. You know what? Here's one other thing. I guess I feel like I want to kind of prove my husband wrong, that I can do this.
You go, girl. Well, then that pauses the next question, which I didn't think of, but you made me think of it. When you're looking at an opportunity, whether it's ours, please, Ann, or somebody else's, when you look at them, do you gauge your interest or your desire and whether or not you have the ability to, you know, meet the requirements of doing the business? Everything from the time to the space to even the startup capital that's involved. Do you look at all those issues as far as being very I-dotting and T-crossing?
No, I have to admit, I don't do the best at that. I think that's why earlier when I tried something, I didn't know about all that stuff. So that's why when you showed that roadmap, I like that, because I don't do real well with that. So I'm looking for someone who does know, like you just said, dotting the I's and crossing the T's. I'm not real methodical, I have to admit. That's one of my faults. If I can be shown a way that I know that I'm doing things the way they're supposed to be done, I don't want to flounder. I need to know what I'm supposed to do.
Okay. Hypothetical question. Are you ready? Okay. After reviewing everything, and we have some more steps to go yet, but after reviewing everything, and hypothetically, let's say you like what you see and I like what I see, is there any reason that you feel that you couldn't start a home-based business at this point in time in your life?
No, I actually, just talking to you, I feel more motivated because I think I see more hope that I can do this. It sounds like you know the methodology, and I'll tell you, to prove my husband wrong would give me a lot of satisfaction, but like I said, the main reason is to help out my son, and he thinks I need to keep this part-time job and all that, and I just really want to be home with the kids more.
Oh, I only have one last question for you, and that is, at any time we're talking, if you have a question or a concern, all I'm asking you is, would you please promise me that you'll share it with me? Give me a chance to answer your questions, because that's all I'm here for, is to answer questions. And if you don't ask them, I can't help you. Is that a fair request?
Well, it is, and that brings to mind a question. I would like to learn more about what you're doing, and is it possible that I could talk to... Well, it looks like you have a bit of a team. Is there any way I can talk to a team member? Or?
Well, we have a team little meeting that we do on Tuesday night, and I would love to be able to invite you, and you can be a little fly on the wall, and you can have the time of your life listening to all of us do our thing. And, in fact, you can do it as often as you'd like. I'll email you the instructions to get on the call and the numbers and the passwords, and you are more than welcome.
Well, I would like that, because the one thing I don't want to have happen, I don't want to end up being alone trying to figure this out. And it looks like it's you and a team, and if there's anyone maybe even in my, you know, you're in Arizona, I'm in Minnesota, if there's anyone over in this neck of the woods, maybe it doesn't work that way, but just being able to talk to, well, even if it might be just another gal, maybe another mom on your team.
Well, here's what I would like for you to do. When you listen to the call next Tuesday night, you'll hear a lot of ladies on the call, okay? And You're going to hear all their names and hear everybody talking. You just tell me the people you want to speak to, and I'll give you their numbers, and you can call them and direct and visit with them.
Oh, that would be, I would really like that. That would help me a lot.
Okay. Now, I have some more information I want to send you. We've had a good call. I've gotten great information from you, but we've got a lot more homework to do yet. We're a long ways away from even getting serious about making a decision, okay? So with your permission, I want to drop a DVD in the mail to you. It's very informative. There's no hype. You'll like it. About 20 minutes long. After you look at it the first time, if it gets your attention, then look at it the second time. That's when you get out your pencil and paper and write down the tough questions. You don't like it, that's okay. It makes a great frisbee for the dog, okay?
Well, what if, you said a long process. What if I decide sooner that I want to do this? What kind of a time frame are we talking about?
I need at least another week and a half with you, and I appreciate the fact that you might be wanting to move forward, but I'm not ready, okay? And I owe you the truth. I want to make sure this is a good fit for me, just as much as it's a good fit for you, because I've got to make a big investment in you over the next 3 months, and I don't want to have to talk to you 3 months from now, and you say, I'm not, you know, this isn't what I thought it was. So I want to go through everything with you and make sure that you're fully informed and have all of the facts, so when you do make a decision, it's what's good for you. Does that sound fair?
Well, it does, and I guess now you said you wanted me to be able to ask questions, and I have them. It sounds like you're really serious about what you're doing, and you want to make sure that you're really thorough on your end. What are you looking for? Am I going to be able to even fit what you're looking for, John?
We don't know yet. Okay, I like what I hear so far, but we have other steps to go through. For example, when I speak to you next time, what we're going to talk about is a business plan for you. And I have to know if I can design a business plan that meets with your approval, that fits into your lifestyle. Okay? Secondly, after you hear the calls next week, when you're on the call, you're going to hear how we work our business. I have to be able to answer those questions for you. That's another step that we have to do. And one of the last steps that I want to do with you is take you through one of my days in the life of the business, all the ins and outs of it, so you have got all of the information, so I can get you as comfortable as possible in a comfort zone that works for you. We've got those three steps to do yet.
Wow, it almost sounds like I'm going to school.
You are, girl. You are, all right? And you might as well get used to it because you'll be in John's Boot Camp 101 for 3 months. You're mine if you decide to move forward. But we're not there yet because I don't know if this is a good fit for you. And I know, based upon what you've been told so far, you're not in a position to make a good decision for yourself. So if you'll allow me the privilege of going a little bit slower with you, let's dot the I's and cross the T's. And you can't get hurt doing this because the more information you have, the easier it will be to start the business because you'll know all of this information up front, not afterwards.
Okay, so just so I'm clear, you're sending out, did you say a DVD for me to watch?
Yes, I'll have one in the mail to you tonight with your permission if you want it.
Oh, I'm very interested. I did go to your company website, and I do like nutritionals, so... in fact, you know, I read through some of the testimonials, and maybe it would help my son. He's got ADD and, just some other things that we've been having to deal with him. So maybe those are going to be able to help him with that.
Well, when we talk on the call next time, some of the things you might want to think about is we're going to talk about different ways how you learn things. You know, do you like reading or do you like listening to audios or do you like talking to someone or are you just a plain doer that like to just get up and do it? We're going to go over some of those issues because that's how we can build a business plan around your needs. But we've got to get and identify all those issues first, okay?
Alrighty, that sounds really fun.
Alright, now, you're going to have the email from me for the call on Tuesday. Our next contact will be that call on Tuesday, and you'll have the DVD by then, which is good, so I can answer your questions, and I'll call you the next morning. I'll call you Wednesday. What time Wednesday is good for you?
Oh, let's see. I have to leave for the school job I have at 11 a.m. So probably 10 a.m. would be good for me.
All right. You got a done deal. That's when I'll talk to you. And the purpose of that call is so you know in advance. One, I am to answer your questions from the DVD. Two, I am to answer your questions about you being a little fly on the wall and listening to us having our business meeting, all the questions that you come up with. So That's your homework for the next call, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay, well, thank you for calling, John.
See you later.
Okay, bye-bye. All righty. I'm getting excited about getting into John's boot camp. Well, we don't have time to do additional role-playing, but if you can just do a fast-forward and continue through that process of how you're moving this prospect along, and explain a little more on your end, if you can, John, in terms of why it's so important that this person get in a full understanding of what they're getting involved with.
Well, you end up with a dud, and it's sad, but it's true. I have duds on my team. People who just, you know, they like being in the driver's seat. It's like, yeah, I'm ready to sign on. Where do I sign on? I'm ready to go. And they don't know what they're doing. And so, sure, it takes a little bit longer, but look at the success that we have if we take it a little bit slower, if we dot our I's and cross our T's. And I like the idea of getting someone about half to three-quarters trained before they ever join the business, simply because I know if they can hit the ball or not. I don't want a dud on my team. And if they can't hit the ball, what's wrong with telling them the truth? This is not for you.
Okay.
You don't need to invest your money. Sure, it may take a little more work, but look at the return. Look at the results on my team. I spent one more call, one more 10 minutes, one more 12 minutes to find out what they can do, rather than spend 3 months and end up with a disgruntled member on our team. This isn't rocket science, Ann. This is common sense.
Okay.
The trouble is the industry for the last 50 years can't spell the word common sense, as far as I'm concerned.
So on your end, you're not afraid to disqualify people. How many people would you say on average, when you're going through this process, and it is a little more drawn out, you want to make sure they're getting all the information, you're in fact actually evaluating them to see if they're even doing the homework. So how many people do you end up disqualifying, let's say, percentage-wise? How many actually get disqualified?
I work about 70 contacts a month. Out of those 70 contacts, I disqualify close to 50 to 55.
Okay. And when you say disqualify, are these people who ended up being initially interested in their...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Alrighty.
We went through the first call, we went through the second call, we went through the DVD. We got down to things like the business plan, how many hours a week you can work. Do you have support from your family? Are you going to be able to do this? And then we go into the intricacies of working the business, and all of a sudden, I find out the rat. There's a rat in the woodpile. And basically, I don't want them on my team. Because all I'm doing is taking all my time and energy and investing it in someone who's not going to give it back to me.
All right.
And that's a mistake.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you be comfortable doing a disqualification call that here I am maybe on step four, of which here step three was I should have listened to the DVD, I would have listened in on that training call, I'm not sure what step four would have been, or maybe we can just say I did step three, we're meeting, and can you show a little snippet of what would that be like to disqualify someone? Because this is really important, and people need to hear this. That
it's very easy to do, and it's not painful. And if you just focus on being sincere and being honest, the people will appreciate it more than you'll ever know.
Alrighty.
And here's what I say, Ann. Okay. I cannot tell you how much I've enjoyed getting to know you over these last three calls, but I have to share with you some of my notes that I've taken, and I'm doing this for you, Ann. So I'm not here to offend you. I want to hurt your feelings, but I owe you the truth. And if you will allow me, I'd like to share some information with you. Is that okay?
Yes. What do you have to say, John?
Well, what I'm trying to say is that you have some great skills, and then specifically, you're motivated. I like that. You're organized. I like that very much. And you're a hard worker. But your life is so full, you can't even give me an hour to an hour and a half a day with all of your commitments with the children, and you're talking about working this business maybe 1 or 2 days a week. Now, you can do that, Ann, but you're not going to make it. You're going to spend money to start this business. You're going to be disappointed because the results are going to be there that are not acceptable to you. And I owe you this explanation based upon the fact that if you can't spend more time and with health issues, the children, your husband, the school, the part-time job, I would respectfully ask you that we put this whole thing on hold until your life gets straightened out a little bit, because I need, from day number one, I need 10 hours a week. And after you've been in the business for 90 days, I need 15 hours a week. If you can't do that, I'm taking advantage of you, and I don't want to jeopardize the relationship we've built so far. So let's try to fix things up front to make it work for you, to make it a success, so if you do try to do it, we know you can get to the finish line. Is that fair?
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize 10 hours. Well, what if, you know, I am interested, but I think you're right. I can't change my life right now. I'm committed to the end of the school year for the lunch job and Walgreens. Well, I don't know if my husband would let me go from that job, so I don't know. I am interested, and I see what you're saying. Well, you know, maybe after I can quit my Walgreens job.
Look, we can keep in touch. I will keep you on my email list. I'll keep you in the loop as far as giving you information. I'm not walking away from you. But what I am saying is, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right, and we're going to do it in a way in which you've got the very best possible chance of success. And unless we have that combination, unless we have that chemistry from the beginning, I don't want to risk your money or your time or your disappointment. That's all I'm asking you.
Well, that sounds fair enough. And I don't know, part of me, I feel a sense of relief because it was kind of stressing me out thinking how I would do this. You know, something would have to give, and right now I don't think I am in a position, but I sure would like to be.
Well,
so
let's keep the door open, and you have my email address, you have my phone number, and I will keep you in the loop. If that's okay with you, sending you information, is that okay?
Yeah, like maybe I'm thinking every month would be, I really would like that, at least every month some information.
Good. I'll keep you in the loop, and when your circumstances change, you give me an email, give me permission to check back with you, and we'll talk again. And if it feels good, and if it sounds good, then we can do it. And but we could at least know we've got a chance, okay?
Well, that sounds fair enough. I really appreciate you being straight with me, because that was a big concern. I didn't want to fail, and if you're saying that it doesn't look like everything's fallen into place for me to succeed, I don't want to get out there and fail, because you know what I said? I wanted to prove my husband wrong, and I if you're... Sounds like you really work a lot with people, and if you're seeing that I don't have everything lined up at this point, I'm just going to trust your judgment there, and, you know, perhaps, hopefully by fall, things will change.
Okay, and I'll be keeping you advised of what we're doing, and that way you'll still be in the loop. Does that sound fair?
I would appreciate that.
All righty. You got it. You know how to get a hold of me, so don't be shy, okay?
All righty. Okay, thank you for being honest with me, John. I appreciate it.
Let me hear from you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's play out a scenario where someone has been walked through the process, and you are at that moment where you've done your assessment, I've been doing my homework, and how does it play out when someone you've determined that they can, in fact, step up to the plate and swing the bat and hit the ball?
And we've had a great conversation. We've had many conversations, and the next question I need to ask you is very important. Based upon everything that I've given you and you've provided and all the information, where do you want to go now? Where do you want to go from here? And what is best for you right now? What would you like to do?
Well, I have to admit, listening to that team call really got me excited. I loved hearing the people with their different ideas and some of those conversations you were doing. I think you call it role-playing, I think was what you call it. I'm really excited. I looked at the different packages, and I think that middle package would probably work out the best for me. And you explained about the leads, and I worked that into my budget. You talked to me about my business plan. And so I was planning on that middle package, and I did talk to my husband about it. He agreed. He's actually really supporting me. He's been really impressed with this whole process, because not only am I getting it, but then I have the opportunity to turn around and educate him, which makes me feel really a whole lot better, because every time I talk about it, it makes me better understand things. So I think I'm ready to go, and I want to join the team and get involved with the training, and I'm really excited about the idea of working leads, but I don't know the first thing about that, and I'm going to have to rely on your guidance for that.
Well, let me ask you this. I haven't spoken to your husband. Is he coachable?
You know, I think he's just seen for me to do it. He'll do some of the other stuff he's going to have to help out with the kids more and things like that. But in terms of actually doing the business as in calls, I don't think he wants to do that. He's kind of in with his job all day. I don't think he's interested. But he sure wants to help out with anything else to help me be successful.
Well, here's the next step if you want to proceed. I need to download my office to you in order to let you see what my office looks like, and I want you to look at that. And I want you to review our business plan that we've already talked about once, but I want you to literally sign off on it, make any changes, because you're going to plan your work, but I'm going to help you work your plan.
Well,
and
I'm
if I don't know what you're going to do, girl, there's no way in the world we're going to make it. So you sign off on your business plan and let me know what you've agreed to, all right?
All right.
And then I will look at it, and the next thing we're going to do is, as soon as that you've completed that, we're going to work on the very first step, which is qualifying, the very first thing that I did with you, and we will start tomorrow, and we will start with you learning how to do your qualifying calls. Remember, we don't tell, we ask, all right? We don't sell, we give, and that's going to be Boot Camp 101 for you for about the next month, because I'm going to be with you on all the calls. Make sure that you don't slip up, fall on the ice, and break your you-know-what, and then be discouraged, okay?
Okay, you know, that role-playing, my husband did say he was willing to practice that with me. So he said he would help with that part.
Okay. All right. I will get the paperwork ready to bring you on board. I'll check back with you tomorrow after I receive your business plan that you've corrected and modified, you know, to your specifications, so I make sure that you're in tune with what we're going to do, okay? Because this is about you. All righty?
All right. That sounds exciting.
All right. I'll wait to hear from you in the morning, and we'll go from there, okay?
All righty. Thank you, John, for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, we've gone through a lot of role-playing here. I think what we'll do is just recap in terms of, once again, to highlight the difference between what you had run into previously with the methodologies, and if I remember correctly, I think you went through a lot of different training programs. You spent a lot of money, and
please don't remind me.
Oh, I'm so sorry of that painful remembrance. But at that, this is all too often the case for many people within the industry.
You know something, though? You said something that sparked me.
Okay.
We all take training programs. There are gurus out there on every street corner. And what shocks me is people buy these programs that this guru developed over 15 years that can basically walk on water because he knows where all the rocks are. And he thinks us poor plain people are supposed to be able to do what he does after listening to his hour training tape. Well, I don't have 15 years training time, and I probably don't have his talent, but yet we're supposed to learn what the gurus do. And that's what bothers me more than anything else. Keeping it simple, what we did on all of these calls with these folks was we had a conversation. Any of us can hold a conversation and be comfortable. We don't have to be a guru, Ann. We just don't have to.
That is encouraging, because I think that's what people are afraid, is they're going to have to become that guru, and they want to know that the average person can do it. But I think it's the methodology, again, that makes a world of difference, that you're not approaching people like, what did you call them, Sleazy Sam or something like that?
Well, the used car salesmen that are just terrible beyond the word.
Yep, you know? Exactly. Well, I want to thank you for your time here, taking time out of your weekend, John, to connect up with me today and share this very significant change that you've had in your business as a result of being introduced to a methodology that could put you at ease, make you more comfortable, and more importantly, put that prospect in a more comfortable position to then receive your information. I think that's what it's really all about, is to put them in a place where they feel they can trust you and that you've been able to disarm them via the permission-based verbiage that you use, and now they're ready to receive your information. And so congratulations, as a success story in the industry, number one, for someone who had was getting terrible results and now 5 months later starting to reach towards that six-figure income and, very importantly, getting duplication within your organization. So thank you very much for your time today. Is there anything that you'd like to say in closing, John?
I'd love to. You know, Ann, there's nothing wrong with asking permission. You know that? When I went to school, I remember I had to raise my arm, you know, to go to the little boys' room. Treat your prospects with respect, and don't be afraid to ask permission. You'll realize that they'll respect you for giving them respect.
All righty. Thank you very much, John. You have an excellent weekend with your family.
All righty. Same to you, Ann.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.